it's true piety, it actually makes a person humble. That's the beauty of it. Allah saying, look, anything that's worthy of honor in my eyes is piety. But that piety won't give you the ego. If it's true piety, it humbles you. You look at yourself as a member of society. You don't have these moments of narcissism and egoism inside of you, of takabbur and feeling elite over anybody else. You don't have those feelings. But now when we began to look down on somebody, we began to think that the color of my skin makes me better than you. The color of my eyes make me better than you. My last name makes me better than you. All those things now began to create anarchy, chaos, divisions, walls, groups, tribes, pitting against each other. And the dhulm happens, injustice happens, the breaking of laws happen. And all this idea of ummatun wahida, one nation, gets fragmented into small little nations. Even today in our communities now, we're small, fragmented communities. All based on what? Culture. All based on language. All based on color of the skin. Ask yourself, you're sitting in your center, 7th of Muharram, if I was there right now in your center, sitting on the minbar right now, and somebody from a different culture walks in, or somebody from a different color of skin walks in, for a moment somebody might think, I wonder what this guy's doing here. I wonder what he's doing here. Hey, come here, watch this guy, okay? He's, you know. And I get the idea nowadays you have to be safe, you have to be a little bit careful, you never know who's coming in, or what problems, blah, blah, blah. That's different. But I think the eyes of judgment are also there. Again, based on what? Based on nothing that you or I have acquired or achieved. It's meritless. For some reason, we believe we are bigger than other people based on nothing that we've done in this world. I'm sorry. And this is not an easy conversation. And I chose this at this stage to talk about because there are so many things I had to build up to. But elitism is a disease in our communities and in our families. Just because she's your daughter-in-law doesn't give you the right to sit there and treat her like she's a slave of yours. You didn't marry your son to her so you can have a cook and a maid. I'm sorry. So what I want to speak about today is spiritual elitism, and it's not an easy topic. And I thought long and I thought hard, should I even talk about that? There are some of you who won't like my conversation today. But my responsibility, my wazifa, my zimbadari on this minbar in front of you right now is to talk about what needs to be spoken about, not always what is wanted in terms of what you want to hear. Sometimes we all, including myself, this is more for me than anybody else, I need to hear this, not so much do I want to hear it. Nobody wants to hear the fact that, look, you have to work hard at this and be better at this. No, we're very, very happy. I'm very happy with the fact that I was born into a Sayyid family. That means I'm a Sayyid. That means I have some status. Great. Perfect. I can do. I can miss that salat. I can ghibat about this person. I can do this. I can do that. But hey, I'm a Sayyid. Hey, I'm a Sayyid. I'm good. And the spiritual elitism comes from the fact that sometimes we have been fed divine fantasies. Divine fantasies from this very pulpit and from our own understanding. And those divine fantasies are this world that awaits us, that is just yours, created for you, made for you, everything is for you. You don't have to do anything at all. This is just all of you. I've literally sat in the majlis and I've heard an individual on the minbar with libas on sit there and tell the awam, and it's a packed majlis. I went to somebody's mother's soya majlis. And this individual now spent 45 minutes proving and telling the public that all this talk about azab qabr and squeezing of the grave and barzakh being difficult and the day of judgment, all of that is for the kuffar and the munafiqeen, not for you, the Shias of Ali Muhammad. Not for you. No? No. You will sleep in your grave, you'll wake up, inshallah, in front of the gates of heaven. All this talk about azab qabr, munkar and nakir, sawal, questioning, all of that, it's not for you. Not for you. How can it be for you? How can it be for you? You're the lovers of Ali Muhammad. It's irresponsible. Those are divine fantasies, I'm sorry.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
We're creating a system where we are now. We feel like we are elite over everybody else. We're the Shias of Ali Muhammad, right? We're the best. We're the cream. We're the mu'mineen. You're given that title of mu'mineen when you have iman, when you live iman, when you breathe iman. Not just name your kid iman. Sorry. Not just the fact that, yeah, I belong to a mu'min family. It doesn't matter who you belong to. You have to now act it out. So we have to remove ourselves from a fantasy, fictional world where now I can live my life how I want to in this world, but I have a fantasy and a kingdom and a paradise waiting for me. Doesn't matter what I do in this world. Absolutely not true. And I'll present to you two very powerful traditions. One from Imam Ali, one from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. To make us truly realize that if we want to be the elite, and we all want to be the best of what we do, the best of our craft, we have to work hard at it. Let's come to the first hadith. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Nahjul Balagh. These words I'm about to present to you are hujjat for you and for me as well. He says, La takun, don't be like those. And this entire hadith is about don't be like those. Don't be like those. Don't be like those, he says. He says, don't be like those. La takun mimman yarjul akhirata bighayri al-amal. Oh. Don't be like those who have this hope of the hereafter. This hope for the hereafter. But it's what? It's bighayri al-amal. It's without doing anything. I'm gonna be a doctor. I can't wait. I'm gonna ace the MCAT. I'm gonna go to med school. I'm gonna kill that interview. Do all that. Oh yes, I can't wait. I have my entire career planned out for me. Perfect, perfect. You know what that requires you to do? Get straight A's in school. All this hopes about being, you know, MD. Have my own clinic. I have this this line of medication. Sorry, medicine. I want to do this. Help this person. Help that person. Maybe go to. Not just open up little small clinics during Arba'in. Fantastic. Great idea, man. That's very, very noble. That requires you to work hard from high school. Ace your SATs. Get an amazing GPA and then kill the MCAT. That requires amal. Don't be like those. Yarju al-akhirata bighayri al-amal. Huge hopes. Palace in Jannah. Sayyid Asad Jafri. Manzil is Sayyid Asad Jafri. Bah, bah. Wah, kya baat hai yaar. Huge palace. But no amal. No amal. No amal. He goes on to say, don't be like those. Don't be like those. يُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَا يَعْمَلُوا عَمَلُهُمْ. Don't be like those who you love the good doers. You have hub for those who are the salihin, but you don't act like them. You don't emulate them. You don't copy what they're doing. If you love the way this person acts, try to emulate that. If you love their piety, do your best to emulate that. This love is not gonna go. It's gonna fade in the clouds. And then he says, "Wala takun yubghidhu al-mudhnabin wa huwa ahaduhum." Allahu Akbar. You despise the sinner. You despise the one who breaks Allah's commands, and yet he says you are one of them. وَهُوَ أَحَدَهُمْ. You are one of them. I can't believe that person. I can't believe. Look at the way that they're acting. You're exactly the same way. Exactly the same way. We have all this talk about this person's sins and that person's sins and this person's act and that marriage and this family and the way he runs that community. And meanwhile, we are what? We are the biggest zalim and fir'aun in our homes. We are running our center like it is a sweatshop where I am the CEO and all these are my minions. Whatever I say goes. What about this? Does it matter? I'm in charge here. Right. We have a lot to say about others, but wahuwa ahadahum, we're one of them. Imam Ali, Nahjul Balagha, not my words. He says, don't be like those. Yukhafu ala ghayrihi bi adna min dhan bihi. But you are so scared about the akhirat and the punishment of somebody else. But when it comes to you and your own punishment, your own sins, you think, oh, it's okay. It's all right. I'll be all right. Oh, man. I would not want to be this guy in his grave. Oh, my God. I fear for his barzakh. Do you fear for your barzakh? Do you think about your grave? Do you think about what you're about to go through? Do I think about that? Here, me, Asad Jaffe, do I think about that? No, we have all this fear for everybody else, but when it comes to us, adna, we lower it, we drop it to nothing. وَيَرُجُ لِنَفْسِهِ بِأَكْثَرَ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ. Don't be like those who have high hopes for themselves, but their amal don't match those hopes. Again, I'll go back to the idea, MCAT, you know, doctor, interview, you know, I'm going to apply to that med school and this med school, the top notch in the nation, no doubt, and you're getting D's and C's. Your teacher says, "Wow, those are high hopes, man. That's great, man. Shoot for the stars, buddy. But let's work on the midterm next week." Don't be like those who have these false hopes, these delusional hopes. You know, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He says that when it comes to khawf and raja, right, fear and hope inside the believer's heart, it should be that when you measure both of them, they're the exact same weight. There are some people like me who have so much fear of Allah, so much fear of Allah, that one sin, and that's it. I'm Jahannami, that's it. I'm hopeless. There's no way God can forgive me. That's one problem. The other one is this delusional hope, where now I'm sinning. I'm living a horrendous life. I don't even resemble anything to do with Allah and the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, and yet I know that Manzili, Asad Jaffe, and Jannah is waiting for me. Baba, your amal don't match your delusion. They don't match. Don't be like those, he says. وَيَرَجُ لِنَفْسِهِ بِأَكْثَرِ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ. Your hope in yourself is higher. It's akthar than what? مِنْ عَمَلِهِ. Than your deeds. Be realistic. يُقَصِّرُ لِإِذَا عَمَلْ. When it comes to their amal, they're deficient. وَيُبَالِغُ إِذَا سَأَلْ. When somebody asks them a question, oh, they go on and on and on about the answer. Right? They do mubaligha. They exaggerate. They go over and over when somebody asks them a question. You ever have somebody, you know, you ask them a question, and they give you a 45-minute answer, and you still say, so, what's the answer? He has no clue what the answer is. But he can't show it. You can't say, you know what, I don't know. I'll ask myself. When's the last time somebody asked me an opinion on a matter, and I said, you know what, I have no clue about that. I don't know anything about that. When's the last time somebody asked me a question, and I said, I don't know. Period. Okay. Like, I remember somebody had asked me about the history of the BLM movement, okay? Somebody had, you know, this is when the George Floyd case was very fresh back then. You know, if we look at the liberation movement, and I didn't know the history of the BLM movement. I didn't. And if I was even a glimpse of what Imam Ali's talking about, I would say, you know, honestly, I haven't read. I've seen the hashtags. I've seen, of course, you know, in sports, I've seen, you know, the Kaepernick. I've seen all that, but I don't know deeply where it began. That would have been a better answer. But I went around and around for a good 5-10 minutes and I didn't answer the question at all. When's the last time we did that? Last time we said, you know what, I have not read a single article on this issue. Because we're fearful of someone saying, wow, you don't, where are you? Are you awake? Are you seeing what's happening around the world? You don't know about this movement? No, I don't know about this movement, sorry. We'd rather go on and on and on, right? يُبَالِغُ إِذَا سَأَلْ. They do mubaligha, they exaggerate when it comes to them asking a question. It's humbleness. Imam Ali says, there's barakat in your knowledge. There's growth in your knowledge. There's elevation in your knowledge when you say, I don't know. I don't know. And you, all of you know me. I'm talking to myself up here, man. I'm not talking to anybody out there. I'm talking to myself up here. I'm having a conversation with myself here, you know. And I'm talking, literally, when I go for my walk, you know, and... I kid you not, sometimes I have a talk with myself. And sometimes I you know, my lips move. So I look like a crazy man walking down the streets in Stouffville, in my area, and I'm walking around and I'm having this talk with myself. And people think, wow, this guy is, ooh, this guy's not there. I don't know who he's talking to. I don't see the person, right? Right now, I'm talking to myself. All of you happen to be what? Eavesdropping on my conversation. فَهُوَ بِقَوْلٍ مُضِلٍ وَمِنَ الْعَمَلِ الْعَمَلِ مُقِلٍ. His speech is a lot, but his amal is nothing. This entire hadith of Mahdi al-Azhar. Don't be like, don't be like, don't be like. Where is there elitism in this hadith? Where is this idea that you can achieve the greatness of the hereafter without doing anything? There isn't. All of this screams that if you want to achieve, you know, if you want yarju al-akhirah, if you want hope in the hereafter, if you want to be amongst the salihin, if you want to be somebody who has, you know, yarju li nafsihi, you hope in yourself, all of that requires action, amal, work, analysis, jihad, you know. It requires you to struggle against yourself. That's what I mean by jihad, struggle against yourself. All of that. It's not that because I was born in a Shia Sayyid family, all of this now would be given to me in a silver pot. Ayabeti, yellow, this is yours. Here you go. Here you go. For what? Oh, just for, you know, being born. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Even the maqam of a Sayyid has a high maqam, but that maqam is earned, Baba. It's earned. Why is it that we have family members of the Prophet, blood family members of the Prophet cursed in the Quran by name? This is a dangerous, devastating sense of elitism that we have no business having. You want to be elite? You want to be elite? Be elite in the eyes of God. Be elite in the eyes of your master. Then, you know, we have done something. Then we've done something. And finally, Allah, one dua that we constantly have is, Allah, make us worthy of the Imam's arrival. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah,
who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
In the name of Allah, the All Beneficent, the All Merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of His messengers, and especially the last of them, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his progeny, and all of those companions of theirs who truly followed their path. Dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another program of Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. You are listening IRIB English Radio. I am your host, Sayyid Ayman Rizvi, and today, fortunately, we have a guest scholar with us, Mr. Mohsen Naqvi. Assalamu alaikum, Mr. Naqvi, and welcome to our studios.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Nice to be here.
The norm of this program is to answer important questions related to our Islamic beliefs through a fruitful and a healthy discussion. So without any further delay, let's move on to our question today. Can Islam manage a modern society? How can something that happened 1400 years ago be useful today?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first of all, we need to look at the definition of modern society. Like, what do we mean by the modern society? The modernism that is being introduced in today's world is something which is not even acceptable for the people as well. Not yes. even the religious. We're not talking about the religious people. The general people also, when they talk about the modernity, they're talking about the buildings, they're talking about the technology and all those things. And they think this is the ultimate, we can say, like, goal to achieve. And in modernity, they're talking about the, the absolute liberty, which is also against the definition of, we can say, like, liberty. Because, you know, the liberty or being free, or freedom that we talk about, the freedom, is not the absolute freedom that we talk about. There are some limitations. Obviously, when we live in a country, there are some rules and regulations we need to follow.
Are we talking about the Western perspective?
Yes, obviously. Because when they say, like, can Islam, which has come like 114 years ago, 1400 years ago, can it manage the modern society? So we need to look at the definition of...
We must define all these
yes,
things.
Yes, we have to define everything. Like, what do you mean by modern society?
Sure.
If this modern society means that the liberty or the freedom, absolute freedom, without any limitations, then that is not even acceptable by human beings by themselves. There are some limitations.
There will be conflicts.
Yes, there is always conflicts. Freedom of speech even, like in the definition of freedom of speech, they say like if a person expressing something without having a fear of retaliation, there is always a retaliation, but you need to see where you are saying these things, where you're allowed. It's not saying something without having the fear of retaliation. It's saying something which is true and at the right place.
Timing and the place is important.
Yes, place is very important. So we need to first talk. We need to first define this modern society. As far as it is concerned to the technology, to the sciences, the advancements in the sciences, Islam never talks against these developments. Rather, Islam supports the advancements in the field of technology, in the field of sciences. The more the sciences will develop, the more they will obviously develop, the more the people will know about the God. They will understand. Why? Because with these sciences, they will with these experimental sciences, we can say, they get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know about the supreme power, the ultimate power, who is running everything, who is basically managing everything, who has created everything. We being human beings cannot even, like, couldn't discover the human body till today with all those advancements. We could not discover the universe, the galaxies itself. Yes, we have in the books that there are the galaxies and the universe, but what's their nature? What kind of things are there? Are there any living things over there or not? How many layers do we have? All these things, obviously, these are said in the books with the researches that have not happened, but obviously we haven't reached to the results. Even the Big Bang theory comes and talks about a Big Bang. But who did this? Where those gases came from? Who created that? And why this happened, they're not talking about this. They just take us to the Big Bang, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, we have separated the heavens and the earth with a Big Bang. And that's the wording of Quran. So basically, who did this, that is the basically the doer of that, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the ultimate. In the mathematics, obviously, they go to the infinite number. And then they say, like, we reach to the infinite number. Everything is infinite. But that infinite that you're talking is a power, basically. And you can name it God or you can name it infinite. It depends on you. Islam is a complete set of religion. And obviously, all the prophets from Adam alayhi salam till the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they all bring one religion, and that was Islam. Whereas the rulings were different according to the time, according to the needs of the time, the rulings differ. The Sharia was different. And this Sharia relates to the specific rulings that are for the specific time. But the religion actually was Islam. The Prophet Adam alayhi salam, Prophet Abraham, Prophet Moses, Prophet Jesus, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they all basically call us for one religion, and that is Islam, and to be submissive to God. And that's what that was the main idea. Now, then people say, how can Islam basically manage the modern society? The modern society and the people will have a better advancement if they come under the umbrella of Islam. Let me give you a simple example, a very simple example of our time. I remember when I was watching the TV, when Imam Khomeini, before the revolution, 10 days before the revolution, when he came to Iran from the France, from Paris, when he was on his way, on the way, a newscaster, a reporter, basically, he asked him that, how do you feel? He said, I don't feel anything. And then when he landed, they asked him, the very first question they asked him is, do you have any constitution for your country, for the revolution that you're doing? He said, our constitution was revealed 1400 years ago, and it was brought by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is the Quran. Quran is our constitution.
Subhanallah.
We don't need any new constitution. What do you mean by this? And today, after 40 years of revolution, we can see that this country, under the umbrella of the Islam, under the umbrella of Ahlul Bayt and the Quran, it has reached to a level that it has its own satellite right now. It has advancements in the nanotechnology, in the different fields of sciences, in the chemical or the atomic energy, we can say. All the fights that we have from, like, you know, the 6+1 and all those dialogues, why all these things are happening?
Exactly.
Why all these? It means that Islam itself has managed this country for 40 years, and it has reached to a level where the superpower, is very much concerned about this country.
With the grace of God, Iran is a modern example of the technological advancement and the scientific progress. But even if you look at, if you look in the history, you would see the Islamic Golden Age, in which we had Avicenna, and then we had Jabir ibn Hayyan, Ibn al-Haytham.
There was a House of Wisdom.
House of Wisdom in Baghdad, yes. Of course. I mean, we can see that it's obvious that, you know, Islam never stopped the way of progress, scientifically. There was a technological advancement, and there was a scientific progress in those times. And Europe or Western societies are basically taking that information from the Islamic Golden Age as their basis for their current advancement. Is that right?
Yes, that is right. And if you look at the constitution of the UK, I think we were comparing that with the Quran, with the teachings of Quran. Almost 70% of the constitution was matched. And obviously they have taken it from the Quran and the Islamic teachings. Unfortunately, the Muslim countries are not taking it from the Quran. And we can see, like, they're developing because of the Quran. They know more than us. We Muslims need to be very much careful about these things. We are unaware of the power of Quran. You know, even when the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he wrote a letter to the youth of the West, he referred to the Quran. He said, learn about your religion from the original source, which is Quran. And we, unfortunately, we know, we basically learn how to read Arabic language, Arabic phrases, but we never know about the translation. And that's one of the, we can say, like, unfortunate things that is in the Muslim Ummah. For those Muslims who are not Arabs, they are under this, we can say, like, unfortunate thing. And those who are Arabs, even they didn't understand the actual wordings of the Quran. They never applied the Quran in their lives. And all the time they were following the West. And there is a main difference, obviously, you know, the difference between Imam Khomeini and the rest of the scholars in the world, the Muslim scholars were, the rest of the Muslim scholars used to say that the West is advancing and we have to follow them. Where Imam Khomeini said, it is not the West who is advancing, it is Islam who is advancing. And we Muslims are more, like, we are more advancing in the fields of sciences, technology, and every aspect of the life. And we need to believe in this. And once you believe it, you will have, you will see these advancements by you, by your eyes, with your eyes. So basically, and that's what he did actually. When he came, I remember, like, if you look at the history of Iran, the revolution, he said, rather you translate everything into Persian language, or you create your own syllabus for all levels according to the Islamic teachings. And that's what they did. And today we can see, like, within 40 years, they have reached to a level that is unbelievable, obviously, the growth which they had. We haven't seen such a growth in any, we can say, like, Western country in a short time, the way they have reached this level. So there are many, there are many aspects of this. And why Islam can basically manage the whole world, especially the modern society, is because their main aspect, there are three main aspects of Islam. One is the justice, adl insaf. Islam is talking about the justice. Number two is the ethics. In the Quran, we can see there are only 500 verses that talks about the rulings that are in Islam. The rest of verses, yes, jurisprudence. The rest of verses is about the
ethics,
and the beliefs. It's the major part is about the ethics. And the third thing is submissive, being submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be submissive. Because when you're submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you basically, when you see everything, when you become submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you become the true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you need to be getting, you need to get connected to the divine cause and the divine, we can say, cause that in, or goal that has been set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we are connected to the divinity, then obviously there is nothing that can stop us.
Yes, in conclusion, I would like to say that in history, we had an Islamic golden age, and currently we have Iran as the biggest example of the scientific progress and technological advancement. And yes, Islam can manage a modern society. But again, you know, as you have talked about the definition of modernism,
yes,
that's a different topic. So, but it is possible. Mr. Naqvi, we truly thank you for participation and answering this important question. May Allah give you special reward, and we truly wish for your prosperity and success in the both worlds. We also like to thank our valuable listeners. In the next episode, we will answer other questions. Till then, take care, and may God bless you all.
لبني علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا وبهذا الحب لا نخشى المحن
Light. Hello everyone and welcome back to The Light. A baby capybara has found a new family at a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali after she was abandoned by her mother soon after birth last December. The little capybara is 3 months old and is under the care of a surrogate mother who is in charge of providing her with the skills she needs for optimal development. The baby capybara was rejected shortly after birth by her first-time parents. But the zoo hopes that in a couple of months, she will be able to unite with another female of the same species.
As the COVID-19 pandemic has affected most sectors in one way or another, a Swiss tech firm has created a robot that can disinfect airplanes in a few minutes. The startup called Uvea says the robot emits powerful ultraviolet lights as it slowly moves down the aisle, killing 99% of bacteria and pathogens, including the coronavirus. The company says a robot can disinfect a single aisle in 13 minutes. The startup co-founder says the UVC technology has been used for decades in hospitals and labs. He says the fact that the rays could be harmful to humans prompted them to seek an autonomous robot that can carry out the task.
It's quite an old technology, but it's quite dangerous. That's why we want to take the worker out of the range of the light. So that's why we made a robot, because there is some solution when you are near the light, and that's dangerous. So we really had to make this system autonomous. So we switch it on, we leave, the machine makes the disinfection, all the plane, all around, and then it stops automatically. So the worker are not in contact with the machine.
The company is hopeful that technology could help restore travelers' confidence in safe air travel and help bring the worst-hit aviation sector back to its feet.
Now, in Egypt, more than 20 ancient royal mummies have been paraded to a new museum to be displayed in greater splendor. The mummies include 18 kings and 4 queens who were taken from the Egyptian Museum in central Cairo's Tahrir Square. They were transferred to the National Museum of Egyptian Civilization in Fustat, which lies some 5 kilometers to the southeast of the capital. The ceremony aimed to drum up interest in Egypt's rich collections of antiquities at a time when tourism has entirely stalled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Archaeologists discovered the mummies in 2 batches at the complex of mortuary temples of Deir al-Bahari, located on the west bank of Nile. High-tech light displays at the Beijing International Light Festival provide an immersive experience to visitors and create a miraculous night scene by illuminating the sky. The festival is held in a major urban park in the Chinese capital, Beijing, also a popular site for enjoying cherry blossoms in the spring. As the sun goes down, the park is illuminated with a high-tech light show every evening, and nature's beauty is heightened, that is highlighted, with a little help from technology.
The theme of our show this year is Blue Space. We've created a universe in which there's the blue planet. The visitors come in as explorers from Earth, they board the spacecraft, and it takes them to the blue planet. And the installations they see in the park are different biolandscapes on planet blue. There, they need to complete several tasks, which are the interactive installations we've set up. So the exhibition is immersive and interactive.
The exhibition uses 19 different types of lighting equipment to give visitors an unforgettable experience. This is the second year for the Beijing International Light Festival and will last until October 2021.
Painting eggs is a beloved tradition amongst Christians, especially Orthodox, on the occasion of Easter, symbolizing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A veteran Hungarian artist has taken that craft to a whole new level. 67-year-old Tunde Chuhai has been designing eggs for decades. Each of her delicate creations takes days to make. Chuhai uses various kinds of eggs and says the best one comes from geese. She starts her craft by emptying the eggs through tiny pinholes before washing and then drawing patterns on them. The veteran egg designer says her style is so unique that she doesn't have to sign her eggs.
I never sign my eggs, as everyone knows they were done by me. I don't have to particularly prove that I did it because my style is so distinctive. even though others may use similar techniques.
Shuhai's decorative Easter eggs are very popular, so she has to work all year round to meet the demands. Her work is internationally recognized and has featured in galleries both at home and abroad. This year, however, her miniature creations have to stay at home with her due to the coronavirus pandemic. A young British man who is no stranger to danger takes his life in his hands, free climbing one of the highest skyscrapers in Europe. George King made his way to the top of a 116-meter hotel in the Spanish city of Barcelona without any ropes or safety measures. The 21-year-old scaled the building in only about 20 minutes. However, as he was climbing down the building, he was arrested by police. This is not the first time the British daredevil has risked his life with such a nail-biting climb. Last December, he scaled Barcelona's iconic Agbar Tower with a height of 144 meters. In 2019, he also free-climbed the 310-meter Shard building in London. The feat, however, earned him 6 months in a young offenders center.
A chocolate maker in the Belgian city of Bruges has come up with a novel recipe to boost business in the run-up to Easter.
When you're a classic chocolate maker, make very classic recipes. Caramels, praliné, marzipan, and it's okay. We have classic bonbons too. But I think today, the customer wants to go on adventure, also when they are eating something.
The chocolatier's special concoction is a praline made of grass juice, Granny Smith apples, and an East Asian type of lemon. He believes chocolate contains a secret ingredient that can counter the lockdown gloom. Belgium is known as the chocolate capital of the world. The northern city of Bruges is in particular renowned for treating your taste buds to quality cocoa. However, the coronavirus pandemic has diminished foreign tourist numbers, with businesses now relying on local customers. This is heart-melting. A video of a stray cat carrying her sick newborn kitten to a veterinary clinic in Turkey is melting hearts online. Veterinarians were confused as a cat walked into their clinic clutching one of her kittens in her mouth. The cat then meowed for a long time and brought in a second kitten of hers. After a quick examination, the vets noticed that the kittens couldn't open their eyes due to an eye infection. The clinic staff immediately treated the animals, helping them open their eyes after a while. The stray feline and her kittens were placed in adoption after the completion of their treatment. Nothing marks the start of spring in Japan like cherry blossoms. This year, people try to enjoy the sakura season safely by observing health protocols. Scores of Japanese have flocked to Tokyo's Ueno Park and along the Magura River to see stunning cherry trees in full bloom. The light pink flowers symbolize fresh starts in Japanese culture. The cherry blossoms generally last from April to May. Thanks to this year's warmer weather, trees have blossomed earlier than usual. However, the number of people coming out to enjoy the season has fallen sharply due to the coronavirus pandemic. Some sakura festivals around the capital were also canceled.
In the heart of one of the oldest districts in the U.S. state of California, there is a historical little printing house that is receiving a new lease on life. The building and its equipment were slowly dying out, and its machines were good for scrap. The iconic printing house was on the verge of bankruptcy until a group of artists revived this beacon of traditional typography. They used what was already present in the building, including the tools and hand printing knowledge. Artists are able to print their new age designs using these old printing methods. Some of the machines date back to the late 1800s. La Linterna was first founded to print newspapers, later on It began printing cinema and concert posters for famous artists.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll be discussing the commentary of the 23rd chapter of the Holy Quran, Suratul Mu'minun, or the Believers. Now let's just listen to the related verses and then we'll be back. So stay with us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ.
And certainly did we create man from an extract of clay. Then we placed him as a sperm drop in a firm lodging.
Brothers and sisters, we were talking about the beginning verses of this chapter. And actually, we arrived to the 12th verse. After mentioning the characteristics of the real believers, the ones who are actually successful, and the vast and unique rewards in store for them throughout the previous verses, the faithful reader is motivated to join their ranks. But how is this possible? This 12th verse starts saying, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. And certainly, we created man from an extract of clay, then we placed him, sperm, in a safe lodging. The Arabic word سُلَالَة, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَة, means an extract of something. And actually, these verses are here to answer this important question. How is this possible for us to join these two faithful ones? These revelations, and a part of the other following holy verses, they are actually illustrating one of the main ways of achieving faith, achieving to be from among the believers. First, man is encouraged to discover and contemplate the wonders of the human body. He has to ponder over its genesis through some verses, which will be recited, inshallah, later on. The Quran attracts the man's attention to outside secrets of the wonderful beings of the world of existence, the exterior world of macrocosm. He must try to see the wonders of creation in the microcosm of being too, because it says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ. And certainly we created man from an extract of clay. So, I assume the first step to be from among the true believers, from among the ones who can be, for sure, the successful, the first step is to meditate upon how man, the best and chosen of all creatures, with all his greatness, talents, and excellent characteristics, had been created from the humble earth. The existence of man himself is a testimony to Allah's awesome power, because he created such a complex, amazing creature with complicated behaviors from such a simple substance.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So these verses are somehow reminding all the people of their past, reminding the human beings how weak they were from the time when they were sperms in a safe lodging, and to the times when they were just little infants. They had no power to defend themselves. And this reminder will cause all the human beings to pay close attention to the Almighty Allah's power, to the blessings they have received from the side of the Exalted. And the more focus and attention on these concepts means actually strengthening the basis of Iman and faith. And as a result, more acts of servitude are seen. The reasons why the Almighty Allah is the best creator of all are vast and different. You may have seen and you may have read actually various discussions or argumentations regarding this fact. But there are some reasons. For example, like that He is perpetual. He is not limited. And not only He is not limited, but also the diversity of His creations are also unlimited. And what has been pointed out in this verse is that He has created the most complex and the most complicated thing from the simplest thing possible. And this creation is not in vain, and it has its own purpose. all the things he does is purposeful. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. And the answers are mostly based upon the book, Children